fourth case, Hernandez versus the City of Goshen. Mr. Walsh.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Timothy Walsh from South Bend, Indiana. I represent the plaintiffs in the proceedings below. You'll hear some of the same arguments in this case, I suspect, that were just made in the last case, with some of the same cases argued there, also argued in this case, including DeShaney and the City of Sacramento case. This, too, is an appeal from a ruling denying a Rule 12b-6 motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim. In our particular case, the facts are, I think, significantly different. In this instance, on December the 6th of 2001, Mr. Hernandez, Mr. Garza, and Mr. Wissman were all employees of Newwood Decorative Millwork in Goshen, Indiana. And that morning, Mr. Wissman got into a physical fight with another employee. Wissman left the premises, but before doing so, threatened to return to the premises and do bodily harm to Newwood employees. His threats were made known to the plant manager on duty that time, Mr. Gregory Oswald, and others, who took his threats very seriously, not only because of what he said, but because of his very bizarre demeanor that morning. And with that in mind, and with out of his concern for his safety and the safety of everybody else at Newwood, called the Goshen Police Department and told them who he was, where he was calling from, what had just transpired, including the fact that he knew that Mr. Wissman had access to guns. At first, Mr. Oswald was put on hold several times, and eventually the person with whom he spoke told him that there was nothing that the Goshen Police Department would do under the circumstances unless and until somebody was harmed or killed. We have not had the opportunity to do much discovery, and frankly none had been done when this appeal was filed. But we do know that there was a lapse of about 4 hours, maybe 3 or 4 hours, between the time Mr. Wissman left the facility and the time he returned. So there was more than adequate time for the police department to have done something.
Well, suppose the city has policies that the police do nothing until a crime has been committed. That is, they investigate crimes, and the criminal justice system will work with deterrence to reduce future crimes, but they do not attempt to prevent crimes. Any constitutional problem with that policy?
I think that that is deliberate indifference of the most outrageous kind meant by the Supreme Court.
Label. The Supreme Court said in DeShaney that the Constitution is a set of negative liberties. It's freedom from governmental interference and not a compulsion of governmental help. And as I phrased it, intervening to prevent a crime is governmental help. Maybe it's bad for the government not to help in that way, but consistent with DeShaney, how can there be an obligation of the government to intervene to prevent crime?
We think there is an obligation, Your Honor, under the City of Sacramento case and the cases that are cited there, one of which is DeShaney.
Lewis against Sacramento has nothing to do with intervening to prevent crime.
On its facts, it doesn't, but it does talk about the fact that arbitrary, egregious actions on the part of government.
This is just words. It means you're against it in the general election. But we know from DeShaney that failing to intervene to prevent crime is, whatever is in that category, failing to intervene to prevent crime is not in it.
Well, I understand your point, Your Honor, but we're also taking the position in this matter that this isn't a case where the plaintiffs needed protection from Mr. Wissman, and the state failed to, or the city failed to provide it. This is also an instance where the plaintiffs needed protection from the government because of a policy of utter indifference to the types of situations that were not only specifically foreseeable here because of the phone call, but which should have been generally foreseeable to them, and they did nothing. The acts of utter indifference are alleged in the complaint, as is the deliberate conduct by the city alleged in the complaint. There is no allegation in the complaint that the city of Goshen failed to prevent a crime. What the city of Goshen did here was to fail to prevent injuries. Only discovery will help us determine this, but I doubt very much if when Mr. Oswald made that phone call, he was very much concerned about whether or not the city of Goshen was about to prevent a crime. What he was concerned about was his welfare and the welfare of the individuals in his employ, and so his concern was about preventing injuries and not preventing crime. And when he asked for help, because of policies that were in place that prevented the very help from being given that was asked for, it didn't arrive. And that's why we think that the case is distinguishable from DeShaney.
Is this comparable to the tragedy that often occurs where a call is made to a police department by a spouse or partner about abuse, and a week later there is a tragedy result, but there had been no response? Would that be that's the kind of situation we have here?
It would be similar. Yes, it is similar.
And would you say that those are DeShaney violations nationwide by departments that are, for whatever reason, inadequately staffed or don't respond to domestic incidents that are projected to occur by one partner or spouse?
As you've characterized it, yes. However, DeShaney also makes provision for the fact that if the government is involved in the process by making the plaintiff's condition worse than it would have been, or by making the plaintiffs more vulnerable than they would have been, then there is a constitutional violation, and that is part of our cause of action here, because you have a situation where the call was made. The call reaches a police department with an indifferent policy about treating matters of this kind. There is time to reflect. There is time to do something, as the Supreme Court was careful to note in the City of Sacramento case, but nothing is done about that. There could have been something done, and the city makes the harm greater and makes the plaintiffs more vulnerable than they would have been. I really think that what we have here is joint proximate cause. There need not be just, and there is not just one proximate cause in every case. As your honors well know, there can be more than one proximate cause which combine to cause harm. And that's what we have in this particular case.
Is there anything in your theory of causation that could not equally well have been said on behalf of Joshua DeShaney?
I don't know that it was contended in that case that the government there made the situation worse, or that made them more vulnerable.
Turned Joshua to his father's control.
I know the facts, Your Honor, but I don't know that that's what was alleged.
The only reason they were developed as the facts is because they were alleged, and then they were proved.
Well, that was a summary judgment case, as I recall, Your Honor. I don't know if that's proving a case, but I think that there are distinctions here with regard to our case and the DeShaney matter. The distinctions are the ones that I have pointed out to you. The police should have prevented an injury here. If they had done what reasonable persons would have expected them to do under the circumstances, there is something that could have been done to prevent these injuries. There would have been more time to reflect. The Newwood organization, the management there could have changed their locks, changed the keys, hired a security, private security agency. Certainly Mr. Wissman could have been contacted. He would have been aware of the fact that the police were themselves aware of his threats. And these are the sorts of things that, stopping short of speculation, I think could have occurred in this matter. And I see my time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Stevenson?
May it please the Court. Counsel James Stevenson for City of Goshen. I'd first like to comment on the state-created danger, state-enhanced danger exception to Descheny. It appears counsel is suggesting that somehow Goshen made the plaintiffs more vulnerable somehow, and he appears to be trying to make the point that the state-created danger exception should apply. It's pretty clear there's no special relationship here under Descheny. There's no custodial arrangement, no incarceration. But there's no affirmative conduct either which can serve as a basis for state-created danger or state-enhanced danger. The state has to take some affirmative act to put a person, a private citizen, in a position of danger, or at least do something to further enhance the vulnerability of the existing danger. And here, the complaint clearly pleads that the city didn't do anything. So an affirmative duty has to arise not just from knowledge of a predicament private parties may confront, but through limitations that the state itself has imposed upon private persons through either restraint on liberty, which is not the case here, or some affirmative conduct that at least enhances the magnitude of the danger.
What if the city had a policy that it responds to complaints such as these in private settings, but not in commercial settings? Would that be kind of policy that
we might have some equal protection problem, possibly. I don't think it would affect.
So you're saying that no set of facts here as to the conduct of Goshen's police department could be ever either alleged or failed to be alleged or could be proven.
No set of facts based upon well-pleaded allegations, and the allegations are that the call was made, that the response was, we're not going to respond unless there's crime and injury, and then we'll respond. And that falls squarely within Descheny. There's no way around it. There's a bar to the constitutional claim. Now, the state law claims are being litigated in state court, so not though they don't have any opportunity for some type of remedy potentially, but the court certainly is
what's
not.
What's the nature of the state law claims against it?
Negligence. They're negligence claims. I'm trying to get those dismissed too, but that hasn't occurred yet. Certainly, the court is not required to ignore well pleaded facts. The court is required to accept them, and that's what the district court did here. And I think the law in the area is so well established that there's really no room for argument, at least as to application of Descheny on the special relationship type of argument. There are cases from this circuit, yes, which involve affirmative conduct which place private persons in more vulnerable positions, and I would cite the Wallace case, which was alluded to in prior argument involving the prison guard, but again, those are not present here. Another argument appears to be that somehow the policies themselves cause the injury. Well, in Descheny, the dissent bought into the argument that institutional arrangements themselves, a police department, a social services agency, might serve to cause detrimental reliance upon private persons, and thereby they avoid self-help. Well, the Supreme Court rejected that. Here, people at Newwood had access to self-help. If they didn't exercise it, There's no constitutional liability for not providing them services. Another useful distinction is the case of Roth versus United States. This was the drowning case from the early 90s. The county was held in on a Rule 12 motion because the county prevented self-help. It required authorized persons to do the rescues for drownings, whereas the city of Waukegan had provided no rescue services. And the court dismissed the city of Waukegan. Why? DeShaney says you don't have to provide public services to prevent injury. Also, the Reed case that has been cited involving police having stopped a vehicle, put a drunk driver behind the wheel, and the court found that a state enhancement might exist there. Again, affirmative conduct was employed there. Here, there's no affirmative act by the city whatsoever. Finally, I wish to note that there is no individual capacity claim here. This is solely a claim against the city of Goshen itself. The familiar proof requirements would have to exist to make out a municipal claim. And so, for all these reasons, I believe the ruling of the district court was correct and should be affirmed.
Thank you, Stevenson.
Thank you.
Mr. Walsh, your time expired. You may have 1 minute for rebuttal if you wish.
Thank you very much, Arne.
I would be remiss if I didn't take this brief opportunity to say something I should have said earlier. I respectfully disagree with the fact that what's alleged in our complaint with regard to deliberate indifference is just so many words. It is not so many words. In the Supreme Court opinion, in the Lewis case, our Supreme Court said that due process is violated by executive action when it can properly be characterized as arbitrary or conscience-shocking in the constitutional sense. That is what is alleged in our complaint, and with all due respect, I don't think these are just so many words.
Is it just the inaction that's shocking, Mr. Walsh?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Is your position that inaction is shocking? When you quote for Lewis, what is the shocking element here, inaction?
The policies, procedures, and customs of this police department that culminated in deliberate indifference. Inaction, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I thank to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.